today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey, everybody, time for another Code Pen Radio. We're going to get techie in this one again, just because, I don't know, we've been having fun with that because it's, you know, every time we make a new kind of big tech choice here at Code Pen, it's nice to talk about it here on the podcast. So to do that, I have with me our chief of technology, Alex Vasquez. Hey, Alex.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes. And
hey, chief.
And the chief of podcasting, Marie Mosley. Hi, Marie.
Hey, everybody.
Hey. So the title, as you already know, because people, when they listen to podcasts, I hear, have to look at the title of the podcast before they click play on it. But so you already know it's about Cyprus, but you might have no idea, like, it's, you know, are they going to talk about Cypress Hill or what? You know, it's the kind of tree, I think.
The throwback right there.
I actually have no idea why the company chose that name necessarily. I'm sure it's an interesting story, but we're talking about a nerdy software service called Cypress, the URL cypress.io. And this isn't not a sponsored thing or anything, although we'd absolutely welcome that. Hi, Cypress. We're our voices are for sale. just kidding. But what it is a testing framework. And, you know, we can explain all of what it is and how we're starting to use it at CodePen. But it might be kind of cool to, like, back up and talk about testing a little bit generally. Like, I'm sure we've talked about testing a number of times on this podcast. It's something you just can't avoid in a tech product, right? We have all kinds of tests, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's just we have JavaScript tests and Ruby tests, and we have services that have their own, you know, little microservices that have their own tests. So there's tons of different kinds of testing. Maybe it would help to elucidate the concept if we talked about the types of testing that we have. We have unit testing, which I think is probably, if you're a developer, probably the most familiar. It's just...
Yeah, this function returned this value. And I needed that to happen. So we definitely have those. And those are, we've had those forever, and they're well integrated in our stack, and we can't even push code with those failing. It'll just block our, you know, we have that all integrated into our setup. They call that these days CI, don't they? You know, like CI basically means anytime you push your test run and you're kind of blocked from doing your thing.
Yeah, every time we push to a branch, whether it's a personal branch or something to release, we run our test. And the full CI is the fact that once we automatically merge into our production branch, it automatically gets pushed out to production. There's no one sitting around pushing a button, looking at servers, make sure they update. So
yeah,
we've got that full CI circle, which is really great. It's a huge, huge win for us. We've had it for a very long
time. Yeah, you kind of don't even think about it anymore. You're like, oh, it's ready to go. Okay, go. You know, you just there's nothing to do there, which is kind of great. So Alex saying unit testing, we've covered that before. You kind of got to have that good test to make sure that literal code isn't broken. And we even have stuff that, like, just watches the site. That's kind of a pretty extreme test. But if the site goes down, we get alerts for that. That's like, is the site up?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a little uptime testing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's worth knowing.
Got to pass that.
And there's prop types and stuff. That's like a kind of test.
We have a lint testing. That's another thing that we do. You know, that's just making sure we follow coding standards type testing. I wouldn't count that as unit testing, but that's pretty granular and pretty close to unit testing.
It's kind of funny is that as you're developing, you're kind of just a tester yourself. You're working on the site and you hit refresh and make sure it's doing the thing you want it to do and make some code changes and get a little closer and hit refresh, or, you know, maybe it refreshes for you and all that kind of stuff. But that's, you're basically have become a tester, you know, or let's say you have a new branch that's ready to go. You might ask some people on the team, hey, can you pull this branch and give it a test for me? Which isn't saying run your test suite. It's saying literally work with the site. Like, click things and do things and pretend you're a user and make sure that it works. You've become a human tester in that way. And that's great. And you've got to have that because that level of testing can never be replicated. That's like, oh, this doesn't just feel right. The UX is off here, or it's not doing what I expected it to do. There's no replacement for that. That's like a really good human testing. But the last kind of testing that we didn't mention, I guess, falls into this bucket called integration testing, which is closer to that Integration testing is spin up the website, click these things, fill out these form fields, visit this URL, scroll the page to this location. It's literally like replicating the actual browser to do things. It's scripting the browser. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's a bit of the final frontier for us as far as testing is concerned. I mean, other than having a full on QA team, which we don't have, every developer here is the QA team. But it's kind of the final frontier in our testing, what we'd like to do with testing. We've always wanted to have integration tests where you verify that you can log into the website, you get rejected properly if you try too many times. Though that level of testing requires a browser. You just can't replicate that by calling a bit of code on the back end or a bit of JS and executing things. That integration just kind of speaks to the idea that you're integrating the entire stack. And the beauty of something like Cypress is we can test locally, but we can also test our staging server and we can test our production server. You can actually test your production site, make sure that that's up and running and working the way you expect.
So imagine you're writing the test. You say, go to this URL and click this button. And when you click that button, I want to make sure that this div is somewhere on the page. Well, of course you can test staging and production because that first line of code, go to this URL, could be a staging URL. It could be a production URL. It's just a variable probably, which is pretty dang cool.
That's where Cypress comes in. Chris, you brought Cypress to the team's attention. Where'd you end up hearing
about?
I think
it was just a Slack thing because I was, you know, where this started was embarrassment, basically, whereas all good programming starts, was basically, it was me who pushed a change that literally broke sign up, and I pushed it on a bad day. It was everything that was the worst thing that could happen. I think I probably did it on a Friday, and it was probably broken for like several days, but it was actual sign up, pro sign up. Couldn't possibly be worse. And it was because, and so the why it happened was like we changed something in the header of CodePen, and the way some sign up JavaScript was written, it was like kind of a selector that basically did like a query selector for like a form element or something. And now there was a new form in the header, and it just found the first one it could find, and that's how it did its JavaScript binding. You might argue that that's like a little sloppy of JavaScript, and that we're so happy to be moving to React where those type of bugs just don't bite us anymore because the binding is so direct. But it should have been tested. It should have been caught. I mean, it was my bug, but it was such a silly thing to have gone wrong, and even sillier to have lasted as long as it did. And the reason that it wasn't caught is because we didn't have any integration tests for that kind of thing. And that's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for me to have pushed the bug, and it's embarrassing for CodePen as a whole to not have something that vital to our flow not tested for, you know, such a stupid little change, you know? So I was like, I gotta take responsibility to some degree for this. Like, I should be able to, you know, I'm not gonna worry about Selenium because that seems a little above my head, but I've been hearing there's kind of newer, bigger, better things these days. And I've heard of Headless Chrome. Headless Chrome, we've been watching closely at CodePen because of we use it for screenshots, you know, our screenshot service that we've talked about on the, so that's just, you know, taking a screenshot is a major use case for Headless Chrome, but if it, spinning up Chrome and being able to script it like that is incredibly powerful. What you can also do with that is now that you have this scriptable Chrome that you've said, hey Chrome, launch, hey Chrome, go to this URL, hey Chrome, do this. That's what Puppeteer is. They have this whole language that's for scripting Chrome. And you can do it headlessly, but you can do it non-headlessly too. You know, you can have it paint your website for you, you know, like literally launch Chrome and run stuff in it. So like, holy crap, the world has changed a bit since how hard this used to be and expensive and weird and slow, you know. Now it's cheap and easy and fast, you know, that's just what tech does. So I'm like, okay, let me pull down Puppeteer and just start writing, look at the Puppeteer API docs and just figure this out. Like, I can write a script, you know, and there's some Medium articles out there and crap that are like, how to use Puppeteer with Mocha and Chai, how to use Puppeteer with Jest or whatever. I'm like, oh, we use some of those things to do our tests. Let me combine the API, the Puppeteer API with these testing frameworks so I can use the APIs that we're familiar with from JavaScript testing, like expect foo, to be, bar, you know, those kind of JavaScript tests. And I did it. And I was like, cool. I have a working test with Puppeteer. And I think I used Mocha and Chai or whatever. So I was like, cool. I should show Alex, you know, probably to do this. But we didn't stick with that very long, I think. Or maybe I showed, I don't know. I showed somebody like, this is cool. Look, I wrote a signup test. It goes to the URL. It uses some library called Faker or something to like drop in some fake usernames and stuff. So it can literally complete the entire signup flow. Just had like scriptedly, you know, create random users and stuff. And then I think I was just like kind of like on a little high from it, you know, when you figure out something with tech, you're like, yeah, I did it. I'm smart. And I was probably talking about it in some Slack and they're like, oh, we've been using Cypress for that. And I was like, I should just look, you know, and the Cypress homepage is so compelling. You know, you should look at cypress.io. You know, it's pretty cool. It is
very nice. It actually, like, I didn't know what this was going into the show, yeah. And I read their homepage, and now I actually know things about it.
Nice.
Awesome. That says a lot for a tech product.
It actually does, yeah.
It's very visual in a way that appeals to me, just as I've always liked that. Like, I use visual tools for my Git, and, you know, I don't use Vim or whatever. I just like it when there's some visual component to tests, and Cypress has this very visual thing that happens. I think I'm maybe jumping ahead a little too far, but I guess that Alex just wanted to know where it came from. And it came from, that was basically the evolution. Like, we got to have integration tests. Somebody just linked me up to Cypress and I was compelled by its vibe.
Yeah. And that's honestly, that's kind of like the perfect situation to bring it up, because we've had those for as long. I mean, CodePen's what, over 6 years old. We have had those issues come and go every few months. I mean, the number of times every one of us has broken the site is countless. Like, we don't even track it. There's just so often where you will change something and you'll be like, I had no idea this was related to something else. And at this point, there's so many pages and so much to test, whether it's mobile view, test as a pro user, test as a free user. There's just the number of unique combinations it feels infinite. And as far as the human's concerned, it's just impossible to test. Every time you make changes that you assume are small and end up having this big impact, like breaking pro signup.
Right. And no unit test is going to really get that right. And no
absolutely.
Prop types integration that you got right is going to totally make sure that your whole flow works. You
know? That's the beauty of this full, having access to the full browser with Cypress, is that for the first time, you can test things like, is reCAPTCHA guarding against logins, or is it disabled? Things like that. Things that should be very simple for a human to verify. Yet a unit test, it'd feel impossible to do it. And Cypress makes it very, very easy.
So the installation was so, and it also had me convinced, oh, the API is a little different, but it's pretty much just like Puppeteer. It has the same kind of APIs. You know, like, if you look at these, I think we joked it around that it's a little bit like jQuery, because it's got, you're basically like, you know, using the jQuery syntax to select elements and do stuff. You know, it's a little bit like query selector all, but you don't even have to do that. You just cypress.findElement and then .click it, you know, it's really clean. Anybody could look at the syntax and be like, oh, I get what it's doing here. So, yeah, and all you got to do is friggin' npm install Cypress, and it just pulls down all the crap that it needs to do its thing. And then it gives you some example tests that are really nice too. And then you just run the tests and you're like, oh, I see what's happening here. You know, and you can follow along. And a big, like we were kind of saying, a big deal part of this is the visual nature of it. So it brings up, it's like, it's an Electron app, right?
Right. Yeah. So the moment you start writing your, first of all, they do such a great job of onboarding you. Just even in thinking about doing the podcast, I was thinking that one of the major innovations that they have is that installing it is like installing any other NPM package. And thinking about that, I was like, wow, that's actually genius. I've played with other integration testing frameworks, and sometimes they're like, download this binary, install this thing, make sure you have Java 7. That kind of a thing. And they did such a great job with onboarding you. And then when you start it up, they give you this great suite of example tests, and you have access to this really nice Electron app UI that lets you visually see and select tests, along with a browser that kind of shows you the test as it's running visually. So you get this like vibe of like, I'm being extremely productive and I've barely done anything. You know, I haven't really written much, but the browser is already clicking away and typing things for me. And it makes you feel like you've just unlocked a really great tool. And I thought that was such a great part of the experience.
And it does. So you get this app and you can like click on a test and then it spins up a version of Chrome and Chrome opens up and it steps through your code. It's like, okay, I'm going to go visit this URL. Okay, I'm going to find this button. Okay, I'm going to click that button. Okay, now I'm going to expect this to happen. You watch it go do through all these things. And then if all the tests pass, it closes down and you're looking at your test and there's a green check mark next to it. And you're like, nice. And if it fails, Chrome just sits open with its little sidebar and it says, this, you see where it failed? Right here, this line of this test, this is where it failed. And you're like, oh, there's something wrong here. And you're in Chrome. So you can just be like, oh, let me look at the console click and see if there's an error there. Let me use the web inspector to figure out, like, why didn't you find that div? You're not only looking at your site at the exact moment of the test that it's wrong, but you can investigate and find out why while you're in there. That's incredible.
That is incredible.
It's just great. And here's the other thing I really like about it is that every line of every test that you write is its own little test. I don't think they really market it out that way, but that's how it feels to me. Is if you're like, go to this URL, that's a test. Because if your page can't go to that URL, then the test fails. Then the next line of code here is like, find the sign up button. Well, if it can't find the sign up button, then your test fails. So you've written a test that says, is the sign up button present on this page or not? You already written that just by writing a find command. Then you click it. Like, did it click? Was it clickable? Cool. You wrote that test. You know, like every line of every code you write is a test. It's just very cool.
Yeah, that's extremely powerful. We have a test that we wrote with Cypress, and I think it might be like maybe 8 to 10 lines of code. But it verifies, we have this logic that if you come in as a logged out user, and you create a pen, we ask you, hey, do you want to sign up? Because you just created a pen. Let's say this pen that you just created. Testing that integration, testing that full, all the code that's involved in doing that, I mean, there must be thousands and thousands of lines that we've written, and yet we're able to test it in plus like 10 lines of code. And we just need to know that the modal shows up properly, that you can click the button, that you could save the data, that everything like that works correctly. And it's so easy for a human being to verify that. We just kind of click around. And so there are really specific use cases where when you use something like Cypress and you get the ability to click and you don't have to have a human redo it, it's extremely powerful. And you feel super productive because you just tested this entire feature without having to dig into the code and feel like, now you're maintaining more software that's on top of the regular software that's supposed to work, which is really nice.
This episode of CodePen Radio is brought to you by Netlify. Our good friends at Netlify, so cool. Let's talk about one thing that Netlify, a brand new thing, can do that's really cool, which is cloud functions on Netlify. So I think a few weeks back, you heard Marie and I talk about serverless and the whole world of that, which cloud functions are a part of that world. If you've been a longtime listener, perhaps you know that a lot of the pre-processing stuff that we do on CodePen, we do on AWS Lambda, which is a cloud functions service. So it does things like, you know, process our less and our Babel and some things like that. It's very powerful, very cool way to work these days. And now Netlify is offering AWS Lambda functions right on Netlify, meaning you like have a folder with all your functions. They're literally JavaScript files that export a handler, kind of Node.js stuff. And they automatically become like URL-ized functions that you can use in your app. So Netlify is like a static web host, which is super awesome, and there's lots of advantages to that. But you might be thinking, you know, my projects can't be static. You know, I have a super dynamic website that needs to do fancy things.
those two things live together. That's the Jamstack. And the idea is, you know, you can have all the benefits of static hosting and all the dynamic stuff you need to through cloud functions. So I know it's a lot, but here's like one quick example hopefully I can get through, which is this idea of like, let's say one of the dynamic things that your website needs to do is like send a text message through Twilio or something. So you need to use like Node APIs to, you know, you need a kind of a URL to hit to send the SMS message, and you want to use Twilio to do that, but you have your Twilio API keys you need to protect, so you kind of need to do it server side. You can't do it through client side JavaScript. How do you do that? You set up a cloud function to do it. Your API keys are protected. You've made your own little mini API to do it. That's the kind of thing now that you can do right on Netlify. So you can, and it brings all the power of Netlify. It's just great. You got to go check it out. Thanks, Netlify, for sponsoring this week.
Marie's flared herself the main beneficiary, really.
Well, okay, so it's a little bit of a funny story, but the week after we added Cypress, I did not open a single new bug ticket. And I think that's the first time since I joined CodePen in 2015 that I did not open a new bug ticket for an entire week. So when I came to the stand-up the week after, I'm like, yeah, this is great. Like, whatever you guys did is perfect. There's no new bugs. I'm very happy with Cypress.
Yeah.
But of course, so that makes, you know, that's why I'm the main beneficiary. I didn't have any bug reports to handle brand new after you put that
in. Kind of a big deal.
I think that might be a coincidence, but we'll
probably because we only have like 8 tests or something. So we're not, we can't speak to Cypress at scale yet. Although we do, you know, we didn't just like NPM install it and write a few tests and now we're doing a podcast about it. We have gone the 9 yards here and integrated it into our CI stuff. Tim did that, or some of that, paired up with Alex probably to figure out how that all works. So it really is part of our like GitLab pipelines and stuff. It runs those tests and makes sure that they pass. And you guys even wired it up so that it literally does run on production after you push too, just in case something weird happened on production that would then also make them fail for some reason.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts. So we hooked it up so that a developer could run it against their local dev environment, but we wanted to make sure that not only do the tests pass against your local environment, and that's optional for the developer to be like, hey, I want to run these tests, just a little sanity check. But when we merge, we have our CI environment. In order to get code to production, you have to start on a branch, merge to master branch, and then master gets merged into production. Now, when you merge to the master branch, that deploys code to a staging server we have, so it's completely independent, has kind of mimics like 85% of what we do in production. And that running tests against that environment makes sure that, hey, it's not just working on your machine. We make sure that it runs against this like pseudo production environment. But then taking it a step further and running it against production after a full release, that to me is key, because there's been plenty of bugs that are incredibly difficult to find because it only happens in production. And so inevitably, there's always some unique thing about production that breaks that no other environment has. So being able to run it against all three of those environments and making sure that we don't push to production without first passing tests against the staging server, that is huge for users and Marie, so that we know, hey, worst case scenario, the site renders. And that sounds really simple until you realize how many times you've pushed code that breaks the site from rendering, which I've done plenty of times. It's just, I have a fairly decent change going out, and I'm extremely happy that I'm going to have these integration tests. I'm probably going to add a few more where I'm changing the way we access like Firestore, which is becoming this big key component for us. But it's really heartening to know, hey, I'm making changes that affect every page on CodePen. So it would be really nice if we had a bit of a sanity check, and this provides it. So that part of it is really exciting to know, hey, the pages render, we don't get a bunch of errors, and people are going to be able to click around and see their pens and create.
So now, I mean, now it's on us. Now we need to write more of them and write better ones or longer ones or whatever. I think we found that it's I don't know, it added a minute maybe to CI, and like half of that was some kind of is startup-y stuff, and only like 20 some seconds of it is running the tests. So like adding, you know, if we double our tests, it's not making it 2 minutes, it's making it a minute and 20 seconds or whatever. So that seems like pretty good. I mean, even if it took 10 minutes, it's like, they're so valuable, who cares, you know? It's like not.
Yeah, it's that we decided to just kind of live with the pain of slow tests. We haven't done anything to attempt to speed them up, which is, there's a million ways to do so. You can run things in parallel. Cypress themselves runs the service for you in parallel if that's what you want. They have like a paid version of the product, which is pretty cool. But at the moment, we're just running the free version. It runs against our environment, and it's been great so far. There's so much benefit in it that waiting that extra minute, it's not that big a deal.
So, I mean, we haven't faced anything. We haven't tried to write like a wicked complicated test yet. And and by complicated, I mean, I guess they warn you too, like, don't try to write a test in which it signs up as a user named Billity Bob, and then the next test requires that the username is Billity Bob to do the like tests that compound on other tests they recommend not doing for whatever reason. But, you know, let's say we wanted to write a test at CodePen that, you know, you were logged in as a pro team, but their account has expired and you tried to post a job, and we want to make sure that the messaging for trying to post a job as an expired team, but with a valid credit card, you know, like some kind of complex state like that. I don't think we've quite tried to mock that out yet. Do you have an idea of what that looks like for us?
Yeah, so we do have a plan, because that's a big part of making sure CodePen is humming and running along. That's the minutia that if you got access to our issues that we keep, that's where the bugs and the confusion lives.
Yeah.
In those very odd corner case states. So we are working on a kind of a state management portion where we're writing that custom. We're going to need to seed every one of those possible states that a user or a team can be in on CodePen and be able to write tests against that. So that's not something that comes with Cypress. That's something they kind of give you hooks so that you can set that up and you can have something that, you know, seeds your database. But the idea being that we will set up those states, log in as that user within our own environments, and then let Cypress do what it does best, which is just verify that things render properly. And
yeah, I guess that's how you do it, right? You'd have a user in that state already created, and then you just log in as that user.
Yeah, that's not something, because I mean, you can imagine getting like what Chris just described, where you have like a team, but they've expired. You'd have to sign up for a paid account, and then they'd have to be, you know, overdue by a month. And so there's all these little variables that we want to make sure happen, that they render correctly, that we're messaging the teams correctly and advising them on what to do next in that state. But getting someone into that state in a testing environment is very difficult. And so we're working on just having the ability of, hey, let's have this pre-seeded and the ability to recreate those like test accounts, and then just kind of go from there. So that's something that we're building up at the moment, but it's not something that they kind of help you with. That's just something.
We've kind of gone down that road a little bit before, you know, and we are deep into payments work. We had a little like user mocker thing that you could switch. Yeah. You could switch what user you were looking at the site as. I don't know if we'll reuse that, but it's not like we've never thought about testing the site as different types of users.
Right.
It's just always a little different.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. So I guess, I mean, no real drawbacks so far, right? Have you thought of anything that's a little bit you wish was a little better?
I mean, the drawbacks aren't things that complaints that I have. I mean, they're complaints that I can imagine other people having. Right now, Cypress is specific to Chrome, which is okay for us because we've never even had this level of testing. So I'm honestly happy to have what we have today. And I think that they're going to build this out for other browsers. So, you know, the ability...
Is it on Cypress to do that? I guess they're the perfect abstraction layer, but it wasn't the point of Selenium that it was common. It was a common language. Like, literal browsers agreed that this is how you script browsers. And our browsers, it's our job as our browser to respect that scripting. Like, it makes me scared that Puppeteer exists only for Chrome, and it's a bunch of, like, the click API is different between Edge and Chrome or something. Like, that would suck. It would suck if you had to rewrite your tests to... But I guess that's the beauty of having an abstraction like Cypress, is if there turns out to be a scriptable edge, that if you wrote your test in Cypress could deal with converting to that API if they had to.
Yeah, I suspect that's what they'll do. I don't know. I don't really know how their system works. I know that they bypass Selenium, but maybe I know that at this point browsers have like native support for Selenium. Like,
yeah.
It's not as difficult as it used to be. I know Safari has a bit of native support, and so I suspect that like native Safari or mobile Safari would have the same thing. So I love that they started with Chrome. It's my personal favorite browser.
The Copec community tends to like it too.
Yeah.
We talked about that a couple of weeks back. It's like 86% of people visiting CodePen are on Chrome.
Yeah, and you know, it's for us, it's been the difference between, you know, spending a week having a discussion and getting this into our CI process versus looking at the other solutions and spending so long that we end up running out of time for the project and we just kind of end up moving on. That's always been my experience with other integration frameworks. It's like, it's cool, but it's not easy enough to install, and the language is a little clunky and I don't really know how to use it, and helping other people get on board is a little difficult. And so that's where, when I say I'm just happy to have the Chrome support at the least, because it's so good, and I'd rather have one browser tested really well versus like none of them, which has always been our case, because we just don't have a ton of time to dedicate to this project. And so...
Right. I mean, most of these tests are like, go to this URL and click this button, like I've been saying this whole time. We're not going to see dramatically different results cross-browser for those kind of tests anyway.
Yeah.
I hope not anyway. I mean, eat my words or laugh at me or something, but like those aren't typically the kind of things we see cross-browser problems with, you know?
Marie, I think is it like more than 80 to 90% of our users use Chrome?
Yeah, it's like 85 plus. I think last we checked, it was like 86%. So it's massive. Yeah.
Something that you might see more cross-browser problems with is like design things. Like this design got funky here. And this is out of the scope of this podcast, but I just did earlier today, I talked with Mike from Percy. Is it Percy.io? Why is everything IO?
Yeah, Percy.io.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This is probably, I think they're going to have Cypress integration at some point. It just stands to reason that a visual testing tool would have, like, not only can you visually test this URL, but you can go to this URL, click this button, and then visually test it, you know? But if you've never, I mean, Percy is rad too, in that it's the same type of thing. It doesn't, it looks at like, oh, I see you have a pull request here, you know, let me compare the screenshot I have from your master branch to the screenshot from this branch, and I'll see if they're the same. And if they're not, it overlays the two on top of each other and gives you a visual diff. Like, anything that's different on the other page is like bright red, so you can see it. You can be like, oh yeah, no, I meant to change that. Okay. Or, oh shucks, let me go fix that. And then push again, and your push again will trigger another set of screenshots, you know? So they live all in the same bucket. It's all part of like, of CI, and it's all part of like, I want to not screw up when I push code.
That's the dream.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the amount of like the number of permutations that we have to test, I shamelessly go, I can't do it. I just can't. There are far too many. There are parts of CodePen that sadly I forget we even have, because you just that's a project I worked on 2.5 years ago, or I didn't even work on that project. It's insane the amount of number of pages that
none of us do it. None of us sit down at every pull request and log in as 8 different kinds of users to make sure it all works. And sometimes you're like, it didn't really affect that. But every time you push a bug, it's all because it did affect that, you dummy, you know? And it's not like we're SurveyMonkey either, where we have this whole wing of a building with people sitting there manually testing pull requests. We don't have that kind of staff. So these things, while they're an investment in time, and even we have to weigh it out, it's like most of us, even now that we have this great framework, we don't spend most of our day writing tests or half our day or anything. We still just lightly use this. Most of our time has to be developing new stuff, but now we have a way to develop new stuff and not spend all day testing it. We can write one test that covers so much ground. Anyway, we've been repeating ourselves and singing its praises enough, probably, when you
check it out.
Check it out. That should be our catchphrase. All right. Take care, everybody.
All right, thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
6, 2, 8, 6, 1, 3, 2, 9, 7, 1, 3, 2, 9, 7, 6, 0, 3, 1, 8.